Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. We'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. We're also going to have a very special featured guest on the air tonight. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing her as well. We're going to introduce her shortly. And we're looking forward to that in a few minutes. We had a fantastic show on last week, and it was so interesting that producers wanted us to go ahead and do a part two of it, which is what we're going to be doing tonight. So it's going to be a very interesting show. As soon as my featured guest calls in tonight, she's going to press one on the dial. She'll press one, and that'll let us know that she's into the studio. So our featured guest, if you're hearing me, okay, very good. She just did so. I'm going to introduce her in a few minutes, but let me just tell you, about some of the upcoming shows that we're planning to do over these airwaves. So you want to get in early enough so that you can let your friends and family members know about it. We're going to do some of the upcoming shows. I just want to name them out there. Should dating come with an expiration date? Some people feel, wonder also, should marriage come with an expiration date? We've done parts one of those. Those are going to be followed up by part two. We're also having shows that are upcoming with siblings. How to minimize sibling rivalries. How to minimize sibling rivalries. We're also going to be featuring shows on how to get along with coworkers on your job. How to get along with coworkers on your job. So we'll be doing that as well. Let me go ahead and just before my co-host comes in, we're going to go ahead and introduce Miss Marjorie Edwards. She's our featured guest for the evening, and we're just going to go ahead and ask Marjorie. Marjorie, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Just want to welcome you.
Okay, good evening to Radio Land. This is Marjorie Edwards. I live in South Florida.
All right, very good. I'm so happy to hear that you live in South Florida, sunny South Florida. I understand it's really hot where you are. Is that right?
Very hot.
Okay, very good. If you want to tell us anything else about yourself, we'll be more than happy to hear that at this time.
Okay, my name is Marjorie Edwards. I am married. I've been married for over 3 decades to my wonderful husband. I have 3 children. I have 4 grandchildren. I was retired, but I've come out of retirement. I have done a lot with my life, and I'm grateful for it. And
okay.
When I met Dr. Walker, I found the topic very interesting.
Oh, good. We're so happy for that. And we're so happy to have you be our featured guest for the evening. Let me go ahead. We're going to ask you, Marjorie, if you'll just stand by just for a second. We're going to bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We've got a featured guest this evening, Marjorie Edwards. She's going to be joining us throughout tonight's broadcast.
Well, hi, Marjorie. We welcome you to the show as well.
Hey, thank you. And I'm glad to be here.
All
right. Just before we get started, Ms. Blake, why don't you go ahead and give your commercial and tell the folks how what it is that you do and how you do it and how they can get in touch with you. And I know you're a life coach just as I am. And go ahead and give your commercial at this time.
Sure. I'll keep it fairly brief. As Dr. Walker just said, I am a certified professional life coach, certified by the Life Coaching Institute of Orange County, California. And, you know, life coaches help you stay on target, accomplish your goal. They coach you about your life events and life expectations. And so if you like to experience any one-on-one coaching, I do most of my coaching by telephone anywhere in the continental United States. You can just give me a call. The office number is 770-866-2162. Again, that's 770-866-2162. I've also written a couple of books, and I'm available for speaking engagements to groups, to conduct workshops, religious services at times. So just if you're interested in anything like that, you can just go to the website at fosteringleaders.org. That's it, Dr. Walker.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, last week we did a show. It was called Do Social Relationships Have to Be Difficult? And that was, of course, part one, and tonight is we're going to feature part two. Ms. Blake, let me just begin with you to reiterate some of what we covered on last week. I know that we had a difference in opinion on social relationships, so to speak, but that's what this show is all about. We can agree to disagree. Tell me from your perspective, why do some social relationships have to be so difficult? And then we're going to bring that for Margie as well.
Well, I think I'm trying to recall here. I think that my stance wasn't that they have to be difficult. I think that it was a matter of being more understanding and realizing you're bringing two very different personalities together from two different backgrounds, regardless of how similar you could be raised in the same neighborhood or whatever, but you're still bringing genetics and personalities together. So blending that is what can make it a challenge at times.
Right, and that is so very true. I tend to agree with that. They don't have to be difficult. And now we're not only talking tonight, we will not only address couples, you know, a married couple or someone who's dating. We're also going to address siblings, you know, anything to do with social relationships. It can be, you know, out there with your church members. It can be your coworkers. Anything that deals on the line of social issues, social relationships. So our clerk in the store, you know, all of these things is what we're going to be looking at tonight. All right, let's go ahead and take a look. Margie, are you still with us?
I am.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a look at our story for the evening. It's going to be the same one that we covered on last week. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is do social relationships have to be difficult? A group discussion with family and friends. This is what took place during a group discussion with family and friends. On a bright, sunny weekend afternoon, a group of family and friends decided to get together simply to have what they called an educational and informational think tank. Now, they got together just for this educational and informational think tank. Prior to their meetup, they agreed to focus their discussion of the afternoon on the difficulties of social relationships. As their discussion progressed, it did not take long before the family and friends got into a heated debate, leading to the discussion to get out of control, causing the host of the evening to ask everyone to leave, including family members, to leave from their home. Now, some of the issues, these are some of the issues that were included in the topic discussion. Number one, dating. They asked the question of, should it come with an expiration date, which is a show we've done. Number two, marriage. Why is marriage so important? They wanted to know, some people there. Number three, racial issues. Why can't people simply get along, even if they are from different cultures or different relationships? Number four, issues within cultures. Why do people have issues within their own cultures? Number five, family issues, matters of issues with the family. Why is it that family members can't always get along? Number six, parent and children issues. Why does it appear that the children are now running the parents? Number seven, siblings issues. You know, why can't siblings get along? They say that God chooses your family, you choose your friends. Number eight, political issues. Oh, if you just look at the convention as they were going on, that speaks for itself. Number nine, religious denominational issues. You know, why are there so many religions and denominations out there? And then finally, it was business and industry issues. Now, the list is actually exhausting, which is what led everyone to come to the point of disagreeing and having a major conflict. The question that we started out tonight with, why can't people just socially get along? Margie, what is your take on that? Why is it that people can't just socially get along?
Okay, first and foremost, they have their own set of expectations. And what may work well for me may not necessarily work well for another person. Not only in couples, even in the business arena, even on the job or whatever. Somebody may expect you to do what they can't achieve, or if your expectations are higher, it may be a conflict within themselves. I, from past experience, people, I don't want to use the word selfish, but they want to see themselves in other people.
Okay. They want to see themselves in other people? Explain that to me.
Okay, and they expect the same. Okay. I'm a married woman. I met my husband, and I'm going to give you a little history. We dated about 6 hours before he asked me to marry him.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me make sure I got that right. The six. You say you dated about 6 hours?
Yes. We went to a picnic, and after the end of the picnic, he asked me to marry him. He said he knew I was his wife.
Okay.
That was like 30-something years ago, and obviously, you know, it works. We get along very well.
Okay.
He know my strength. I know his strength. He know my weakness. I know his. Okay, so we complement each other with that. We don't compete with each other in that. And people, I'm just saying people generally, because it's not absolute, they seem to have a disparity because they're expecting from what they can do or can't do from another person. And that what brings about the divide. And I'm going to, and I'm not here to preach or anything, but what resonates in my spirit so much is Amos 3:3. And that's the scripture in the Bible from a minor prophet. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you said earlier, we can't agree to disagree.
Right.
But some people put that factor, that focus so heavily, oh, they're not doing the way I want it done. But there's more than one way to get to California.
Okay.
You know, so if you can't accept that person and make a whole, but you have to be a whole person yourself. I mean, you know, you
all
just
right.
have to validate yourself before somebody else can validate you. So if you're not whole, it's going to be difficult for you to walk into a relationship. My husband tells me, well, Marge, you have a hard shell. No, it's not that. Yeah, and I do have a hard shell in that everybody's an individual. So I just take one good seed from that person and I build on it. Not try to remake the person, because we're all originals. Everyone is an original, so we don't need no copycats.
Okay.
If you,
all right.
And I, the terms I'm using, I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
But social, I mean, we should. I mean, it should be easy, because I really don't have a lot of conflict with a lot of people. In fact, I don't have any conflict with a lot of people. It's not that important. People say they get mad, they don't speak. I don't, you know, but this is Marjorie, you know.
Right.
You know, like,
well,
let me stand by just for a second,
Marjorie. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. And Ms. Blake, I want to bring you in just for a second. And we want to touch bases on some of these issues that the group and family members, family and friends got together. And oftentimes, debates can take place in group discussion or just even over the phone with one person. Dating, you know, Ms. Blake, we've done that show. Should dating come with an expiration date? I think it should. It depends on if one party wants to go to the next level of engagement, let's say, and the other party is like, you know, dragging their feet, then I think it's up to the individual who wants to go to the next level to say, well, you know what, if, you know, maybe I won't put it out there in words, but in my mind, if nothing happens within the next 6 months, and this person know from the onset that I want to go to the next level, and they're not moving in that direction, then I think it should come with an expiration date. Ms. Blake, what's your take on that? You know, this was part of the discussion that the family friends were having.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before, and, you know, you really have to realize that life is short, and so why waste your time? I mean, now, that's when it's very evident that you all are going in two different directions. That's not to suggest you don't work at something and try to make things work, but if it's so obvious, you know, one wants kids, the other one doesn't, one wants to travel the world, the other one wants to stay in the country, or there's nothing wrong with the country, but, you know, stay in the same zip code all their lives, then, you know, obviously you got a problem.
Okay, and see, that's so important. Marjorie, let me get your take on it. Should dating come, in your opinion, I know you say you've been married for 3 decades, and after only 6 hours of dating, I take it, should dating come with an expiration date?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, why?
Like Dr. Blake said, or Mrs. Blake said, life is short, and somebody particularly know what they want. And if they don't know what they want, then we can answer that question for them. This is what you don't want.
Okay.
You pretty much know if you get along with somebody, but dating, and this generation, not so much the young folks, in the culture that we're in now, dating now entails a lot of stuff that growing up, because I am older, that, you know, we didn't do, or if we did it, we didn't talk about if we did it. And so they make it so casual, and people get to know you too well before they should know you if they're not going to make a commitment with you. So you have all of these different variables. You have all these different people, all these different personalities, and this one like the egg fried, you know, over medium. This one like the egg fried hard scrambled, and one wants you, you know, it's just too much. And I couldn't date nobody for 5, 6 years and let him decide if he wants to marry me, unless I was 14 or 15. But I couldn't date when I was 14 or 15, so that was out. But I'm like, Miss Blake, I couldn't. If you have an expiration date, what are your intentions? What do you want to do? And I'm not talking about grab the first person that come along, but when you matured,
right,
you pretty much got yourself, your life in order, or for you want to, your career in order, and you meet somebody, I just can't fathom it. And maybe that's why, you know, and I give God all the credit that, I mean, but when I was dating, I went to date Bernard, when I went out with Bernard, I wasn't looking for marriage. You know, so can we go to a picnic? I'm gonna go home and yada, you know, forever. He saw it, you know, and we was married within, in fact, we got married in exactly 90 days, and it worked.
Let me ask you this. Did you know him prior to that picnic?
I knew him in that we attended the same church, but I didn't know him as far as hanging out with him or even being in a group setting with them, you know, like he sat on one side of the church, I sat on the other. I saw him, I said, oh, this nice looking guy. I said, oh, he'd be a good person for somebody. But I wasn't thinking about Marjorie.
Right.
I would
now,
just,
did you?
You know, he just looked like a nice young man, you know, like.
Okay.
So,
you know, we're going to have you on the air just to talk about those 6 hours at some point, perhaps another show. But as we progress through this one tonight, do social relationships have to be difficult? Let's take a look at marriage. Ms. Blake, let me bring you in here. Why do some people feel that marriage is so important in today's time, and some people disagree with that?
Well, there are lots of reasons. You know, I work, my day job is with the HIV/AIDS program, running a healthcare clinic. And so, and that's not to say you can't contract HIV marriage, because trust me, it does happen. But, you know, given that there are so many sexually transmitted diseases out there, your chances are much less if you are committed to one person and being involved with that. Also, there are studies that show in a good marriage that married people have a longer life expectancy.
Okay, Margie, I want to ask you that question as well. Why is it in today's time, in your opinion, why is marriage so important?
Marriage is, for me, marriage is important because the Bible says two are better than one. And if we two get together and if we're going to reproduce, if we're going to multiply, I think the stability, and I think somebody mentioned this last week on the show, it's more important. Now, it's absolute that a child is better off in a two-parent home. Some studies say yes. And others, I mean, you know, if the other person is so out of it, then maybe they should go. But it's not an absolute because there's many people that would have had a two-parent home if the father probably died in war or something tragic happened, a car accident. So I'm not saying that it's absolute that it has to be a two-parent home. But I think if you're going to get together, I mean, and if we're going to have a good family ties, community ties, relationship, I mean, you know, like people, I mean, when you're married, you have a commitment. You should have a commitment, not only to that person, you have a commitment to God. You have a commitment, I mean, you know, like, and you function together as one. Because, see, that two becomes one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and that's your view. All right, we're going to get to some of the comments. Last week, we weren't able to get to any of the comments. We're going to go to the comments early this evening. And we're going to, if anyone out there want to make a comment to speak to any of the comments or tonight's topic, press 1 on your dial at this time, and we'll be happy to bring you in as well. Let's take one of the comments. Ms. Blake, let's start out this comment with you in reference to, do social relationships have to be difficult? This female writes in, she says, I think as humans we contribute to making our social relationships, we make them difficult by being so selfish and thinking only of ourselves. How true do you think that is, that we're selfish beings and we think basically about ourselves?
Some of us, that's very true. People, you know, if you got two people in relationships saying, what's in it for me, what's in it for me, then that becomes a problem, you know, because you're not seeking to please each other. You're seeking to be pleased. And so no one's thinking about the good of the other.
Okay. Marjorie, what do you think? Do you think that that we're basically selfish by nature, and if, like Ms. Blake said, we were thinking more about the other person, then it would perhaps be a better place?
I love the comment. I'm just like, wow. I think, you know, society has taught us to be selfish. Society has taught us the gimme, 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 I want, what's in this for me, he don't have this, he don't have that, or whatever. And when I say he, I'm talking about he or she or whatever.
I know.
What can they bring to the table or whatever. And what happened to simple love? What happened to simple respect? What happened to simple companionship? Now it's, you know, the media has turned things because, you know, we have a whole lot more than we used to have with the media, you know, the things, the bling bling, the cars, the this, the other, you know. And sometimes it's really sad because they focus on, you know, well, my girlfriend, you know, husband bought her a Mercedes, so my husband will have to go and bankrupt us and buy us a Bentley. I mean, you know, like, but the Toyota would get you the same place and back home.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. Let's take another look at here. My perspective is basically, you know, I tend to agree that we're selfish by nature, and if we perhaps concentrated on our significant other or others out there instead of just thinking about ourselves, I think the whole world would be a much better place to live. You know, you have people who cut you off in traffic just to make an exit. And you're going 60 miles an hour, and they cut right over in front of you. And that's, of course, going to endanger your life as well as their own lives. And they don't even think about that. All they want to do is, I got to get off on this exit. Instead of slowing down to get behind you, you know, they rather speed up and try to get in front of you, and that's going to cause a situation and could end in a major disaster. So I tend to agree that selfishness, you know, that there's no room for that. Let's take another look. Marjorie, going to ask you to comment on this one. This female writes in. She says, I think we have a lot of social ills that were not addressed during our early childhood because maybe our parents didn't know how to address them for the future. You know, I mean, I'm going to ask a lady who, did your parents, for example, train you up about marriage? Because after 6 hours, you married your husband, and that is the man that you're, you know, you married him, and you all have been married for 3 decades.
Over 3 decades. I'm fortunate in this sense. My mother and father was married 2 months short of 57 years before she died. My grandparents was married 57 years before my grandfather died. My other aunt was married 48 years before. So we have a family history of stick and stay. That's what I say, you know. And there's only maybe one or two. My family's small, but there's only maybe one or two that marriage ended in a divorce. But they did talk about respect your home, respect your husband. That was first and foremost. I mean, you know, like, you know, take care of your home. You know, you don't go busybodies going from house to house. You don't have a whole bunch of girlfriends over. So, you know, like, and even now, you know, I don't do that. I mean, I belong to a national sorority or whatever, but that has its place. But people have to go out with their girlfriends. They have to have a girl night out. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but I wasn't brought up like that. I may go out to lunch with a couple of friend girls, but my home is my castle. I mean, you know, my husband is the head of my house, and I respect that 110%. But that's all I saw in growing up. You know, my great aunts, the great great aunts. You know, we went back, you know, with family reunions, 7 generations, and most of them pretty much was married, and they stayed married, and they respected the household. Are we rich people? No, but we saw the people. We love, you know, the Lord, and I keep bringing that up. And do you have to be a Christian to stay together? It helps, but there's a lot of them that don't. And
okay.
We had the family values, and that was instilled now, you know, for what, 5 decades, you know, plus. So, yes, it was instilled in us. I mean, you know, respect your household, you know. And my husband is in the ministry, you know, and a lot of people
okay.
talk to him. You know, he says, man, I can't relate to that. I can't relate to, you know, your wife blowing the money or not coming home or whatever. I can't, you know, he says, I can't relate to that.
We're going to ask you to stand by, Mark, just for a second. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second because we're running out of time. We've only got about 30 minutes to go. So we're going to try to get in as much as we can this week because we didn't cover everything last week. We're going to bring another caller in just momentarily. And we're going to ask her to address, or him or her, to address this particular question. Could it be that when we read, I think this female writes in, she says, I think we have a lot of social ills that were not addressed. Oh, we did that one. Could it be that when we read the scripture, train up a child, do we really know what that means? I'm just asking. It does not give us a clear-cut instructions on how it's done. So let's bring this other caller in and reiterate the question. Who do we have on the air this evening? And welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us this evening. Rose, let me ask you, unless you want to comment on something else. This probably talks about a scripture, and I think that scripture is Proverbs 22:6, where it says,
right.
Train up a child. And it's saying that, you know, basically people, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's older, he will not depart. But this writer, this male, sends in this information that says, that doesn't give you any thoughts or on how to train up a child. What's your take on that, you know, in terms of making society a better place?
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. What I take from that is, you know, I'm looking at it in a spiritual respect, and if we, you know, in the earlier Bible days, there are parts in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that tell you you should learn the scripture right on your heart, okay, and teach them to the next generation and so forth. So therefore, if you are to write these scriptures on your heart, it tells me that you should remember them, learn them well enough that you could go back to them when you need to, and teach these to your young ones, and train them to fear God. And so that's what I take from it, is that you're to train them the way to fear God, to respect Him, and to serve Him, because that's what we're here for. We're here to worship God. And so maybe sometimes, many times, as the child grow older, maybe in their teens, late teens, sometimes the child might veer away from the teachings, you know. And but later on, you know, if they live long enough, most time they'll come back to what they were taught as kids. And although I'm emphasizing the spiritual realm, it doesn't mean only spiritual. It's everything. You know, you train them to be good citizens, to contribute to society in a positive way, so that when they get older, you know, they will remember that and they will live the life as a positive role model to others. You know, so that's what I take from it.
Okay. Interesting, Rose. Ms. Blake, are you still with us? Did you want to chime in or you want us to keep going?
Please keep going, Dr. Walker.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 754-244. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us? 754-244. Who do we have on the air with us? Okay, perhaps you're just standing by. We're going to continue, and let me ask you, Marjorie, do you think that in today's society, let's just say, for example, siblings, they're born in the same household, part of the social ills are that they might talk about each other, but then when they get outside of that, they don't want anybody else to talk about their family members. I mean, does that make sense? And if so, why?
That's it.
Okay. How so?
I think that's sad. If they talking about each other, I mean, you talk about negatively or
yes, negatively about each other.
That we have that's going on nowadays. Because family should be tight knit. Family should, stick together regardless. And even if you have differences, you should go to that person one-on-one, you know, and resolve it. But to talk about it, to talk about them and have, because they are families where they have the brothers and sisters that don't speak to one another, that haven't spoken to one another, that's out to, I don't want to say get one another, but you know, they have no communication. I mean, you know, like, and this is like, I always say the same DNA. I mean, you know, like, what happened?
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective. Hang on, Miss. Hang on, Marjorie, just for a second. Miss Blake, what do you think? Do you think that that's sad, or family sometimes, because they grew up in the same house, they will argue with each other, they will fight, but their protection in the close knit could be that they are defending each other. They don't want anybody else to talk about them.
Oh, that's definitely true. You know, family, you know, that's not dysfunctional. They definitely will protect each other, and they will complain about each other. Let's keep it real, you know, but
right.
they don't let nobody outside the family to chime in and complain
uh-huh.
about them.
That's an interesting perspective. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to try to go back to 754-244-6296. Are you there? All right, perhaps not. We're not able to hear them. If you're there, you can come on in. Let's go to 78687. Who do we have on the air with us, and welcome?
Yes, my name is Emily Reed, and thank you, Dr. Walker, for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, do you think social relationships have to be difficult?
You know, it shouldn't be difficult, but in the society that we live today, it does become difficult. And I just feel I have learned of a word of lately, integrity. I feel that once we apply integrity to our lives, which is wholesome and complete, that can take us a long way. You know, it can give us the freedom we want from these social difficulties that we're facing.
Okay, so with integrity, that's basically my understanding of integrity is doing the right thing when no one's looking. But okay. If that be the case, I mean, how many people do we have the propensity to be born into this world to do the right thing? Or do is that part of the training that we have to encompass?
Yeah, I heard you said before that, you know, we're all born selfish, and so we are. And through good training and guidance, we can accomplish integrity in our lives.
Okay, all right. So that is, you find that to be very important, is that right? Let's try it again. You find that to be very important. Emily, are you with us?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. Let me just ask you, for example, how did you hear about our show? I just want to ask you that because it shows up here that you're a first-time caller.
Yes, actually, I called you, Dr. Walker, and I was inviting you over to our health and income opportunity. And by sharing our wellness program with you, you, in return, invited me on your show.
Okay, I remember now. And what is it that your health and fitness program is all about?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that. You know, I'm from a company, and the founder of my company, the gentleman is called Mr. David Gilmore. He's the owner of the island Wakaya, and he's also a multi-billionaire who owns Fiji Water. I'm sure many of our listeners have bought and drank Fiji Water. Now, with Mr. Gilmore, he was looking for an island for himself and his wife to retire on. So while he was flying over the island of Wakaya, he loved what he saw. And he bought the island from the air. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We were picking up some from the studio. Go ahead.
Yes. So little did he know, which is Mr. Gilmore, little did he know how rich the soil is on the island until he tested it out for himself. And he found it to be a virgin volcanic, highly organic soil. So that
all
is
right.
Why, well, yes.
Yeah, so that's okay. Basically what you're into. And just for to give you a little commercial here, when is your, you all meet up, I guess, regularly to do networking, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, is there a number where people can reach you? We'll give you that. Or anyone in your company, is there a number if they want more information on your products or services?
Yes, they can reach me at the air code 754-244-6296.
Okay, all right, very good. All right, very good. Now, let's move on to another one of our comments that have come into the studio. Marjorie, we're going to give you this comment that has come into the studio. This male writes in, he says, when it comes to our social skills, it appears that our world is falling apart because we just don't seem to be getting along. We have failed to learn the elementary lessons of playing in the sandbox together as a people. What do you think about that? Do we not know how to play in the sandbox, Marjorie?
If you're going back as kids, kids would know how to play in a sandbox.
Right.
And younger kids are colorblind. It's the grown folks, like us, that remind them, no, don't let him play with your ball. I bought that ball for you. No, he can't play with your kite. That's your kite. So we implement ideas that they didn't even think about. I mean, okay, some of them are selfish, but a lot of them are not, because kids play, they may squat or whatever, but they're back at it, you know, friends and loving one another, you know, in a matter of, you know, a short period of time. So we have a tendency to,
okay,
to put a little poison in the water, little by little, you know, mm-hmm, till it builds up.
Right, and you know, I agree that Ms. Blake, we're going to bring you in as well. The sandbox. There's a book out there that talks about, you know, all I need to know I learned in the sandbox, and I'm not certain who the author is of that, but I know that it's out there, or it was a clipping that I saw. And this, when you talk about the sandbox, what you're thinking about is how children do play together. You know, and you picture it in elementary school when the teacher may take them out for recess. Okay, they may argue over that ball that Marjorie speaks about. We're in a school setting, but that teacher, chances are she's going to take them and she's going to, he or she is going to demonstrate a lesson for selfishness that gets the kids. They may cry and be upset with each other momentarily, but then somewhere along the way, all is forgiven and they're playing again quickly. Ms. Blake, you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Somewhat, but I just know just from being a parent and watching children that they don't tend to hold the grudges that sometimes adults get caught up with. And I'm a dog lover, so not to compare humans to dogs, but sometimes there's similarities. Right. Dogs forget too. They have unconditional love for you. They don't sit down like, oh, well, you disciplined me 5 minutes ago. They forget. So we can learn something from children and dogs.
that's interesting. I guess that's why they say a dog can be a man's best friend, meaning mankind.
Absolutely.
Let's bring someone else in. We got to go to 850-212. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us?
Hey, Tony.
Oh, Tony, okay, thank you for joining us. Tony, what's your take on why do some social relationships have to be so difficult?
I don't think they have to be difficult.
Okay.
From what I've experienced, it's just a different culture. I mean, kids don't know no different. They're just out to play and have a good time. Most of the time, from what I've seen lately, is a lot of the parents make a big deal about their children. And when you have kids trying to play with kids, one child is too good for this one here. Or you have the color theme, I don't want my child playing with a white child. And I think that's where a lot of the problems comes with adults. And I heard this early speaker say something of that nature. But kids don't know. They don't know anything. All they do is just go out to the park and just have fun and just enjoy. To me, it'd just be the adults that keep up a lot of mess that keeps it going. That's what I've experienced.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you, Tony, to stand by just for a second. We're going to try to go to another line here. We're going to go to 786-487. Who do we have with us? 786-487. Are you?
This is Bernard Edwards. I'm the sponsor.
Okay. Thank you for joining us on the air. We were trying to bring you in earlier. We do apologize for not being able to get you in. What's your take on social relationships, and do they have to be so difficult?
No, I would sum it up in one choice, in one word. That's a choice. So you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be mad. So that's basically what it falls down to. And that all falls back from the beginning. God gives you a choice. So it's very right here now.
Okay. All right. So then when you propose to your wife at the time, in that tower that she told us about, she certainly had a choice, and I mean, who would think somebody would be serious, you know, after 6 hours seeing you at a picnic, and she didn't really, all she knew is, according to her story, that you were in a church, a nice-looking guy for someone, and she wasn't even speaking about herself. Who would believe such a story? I mean, you going over there and you proposing to this woman after 6 hours at a picnic.
Yeah. Now, she didn't say the other part, too. We were going to Bible studies, too. You know, together and whatnot, so I did get a chance to know a little bit. However, I did know that God had chose her to be my wife. And you know, the Bible says he that finds a good thing, a wife finds a good thing, but I knew that. So it's definitely in order now because I'm yet happily married right now, 32 years later.
Oh, wow. That is that. That is great. We're going to have you all. Excuse me. We're gonna have you all on the show just to talk about that, because I think you all broke the record as far as I've been on the air for 7 years and have done over 950 shows, and I've not had anyone come on and talk about after 6 hours, they decided to get married. So you all have broken the record as far as I'm concerned. But thank you so very much for that. And let me ask you this here. Do you think that in today's world, we heard Tony say that it's the parents, it seems to be an issue with the parents perpetuating things to their children that causes the social relationships to become so difficult. Do you think that there's a lot of validity to that?
Most definitely, because a child, I often told my wife when we grew up, who was raising them, that if we were going to fuss or do anything, it would not be in front of them. So they're going to be looking at everything you do and say in their little tape recorders is going to reciprocate. So most definitely, I wholly agree with the other callers too, exactly what they said. I wholeheartedly agree, 110%.
All right. Okay. We're going to just bring, Rose, we're going to bring you back in just for a second for this other comment. And let's see, this female writes in, she says that, I think one of the problems that may contribute to our social ills is the fact that we live in a tense world, which has placed a lot of people in fear, and this causes so much anger within us at the least infraction. Do you think that that's true because we live in a tense world and people just get upset over anything?
Well, that could be a part of the issue because, of course, when people are so stressed and or so tense and are so fearful, you know, they don't have the patience to deal with people, and therefore they'll snap in a second, or you know, they just don't take the time to understand what someone else is going through. So you find that they'll just get upset easily, and a lot of that it can be contributed to fear, you know, at least in some people.
Mm-hmm. Tony, let me bring that question to you. Do you think that fear, the world that we live in, because it's so tense, that people like a time bomb if you speak to them wrong?
Oh, yes, most definitely, no matter where you are. And you got such I mean, everybody is on the edge this day and age. I mean, this race thing is out of control. It's been out of control for years, but it's gotten worse. And then on top of that, any little thing you say can cause a person to want to do anything to a person. So, I take everything, you know, serious. I'm always aware when I speak, I try to be polite because everybody's on the edge. Well, you might have a small window where people are who they are all the time, but majority of the folks, they're on the edge. A lot of road rage is getting even worse. You walk up to somebody, they don't know what you're going to do to them. They don't know what's going to happen in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So I do.
Okay. Ms. Blake, let me bring in Ms. Blake and ask you, what is it that we can possibly do to minimize some of our fear, you know, so that we don't think that everybody who's walking on the sidewalk approaching us is out to really rob us?
Well, you know, frankly, Dr. Walker, I don't live in fear. I always tell people that, because if we really believe in God like we say we do, then what are we fearful about? You know, and I feel like there are quite a few bit of people out there with mental illnesses, but maybe because I've had a lot of exposure through working around them, you know, they don't typically just run out and bother you. So I think we just need to learn to trust God more, you know, because you have some people who, I'm not going to judge them, but, you know, if you're so comfortable in Christ, then what are you afraid of? I mean, even why do we even fear death? If you think about it, but that's another show.
Right. Let me bring Bernard in and let's want to respond to that. And I want to just say something here. I kind of slightly differ with you on that one, Ms. Blake, because there are times when I am a little uncomfortable out there, and I want to believe that I believe and trust fully in God. But at the same time, I think being, for me, being practical is taking the necessary measures to safeguard myself. I mean, I'm a little apprehensive if someone's approaching me, and I mean, two or three guys, and it doesn't matter what ethnicity they are. I can feel a little, you know, depends on where I am, I can feel a little uncomfortable. And I believe I trust fully in God. So I think that, that part of some fear might be a practical thing. It doesn't mean that we have to live and completely indulge in the fear. Let me bring Tony in. Tony, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. Unless you live in an Andy Griffin town, where everybody goes to bed at 6 o'clock in the evening, and, you know, everybody knows each other. There's a population of maybe 300. Other than that, you're in a big city, a city of some sort. It's so much going on today, and that's just because we're at the end of time, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, people are walking around with guns on them, so everybody is on the edge. And I agree somewhat with her when she said, if you don't, if you believe in trusting God, that much I believe in those ones that do, then maybe they don't have any fear. But then again, there's a lot that still do, even the ones that do trust in God, because I'm one of them.
Right.
So everywhere
right.
you go, you have to. We have to deal with a whole lot of issues these days, especially being a black male in this day and age. So that's just my take on it.
All right. Ms. Blake, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
If I can come back and talk about a couple of quick things. I mean, now I am cautious. Don't get me wrong. I'm a woman, and particularly if I'm out at night, I'm aware of my surroundings, who's walking behind me. But in terms of, you know, I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I just didn't have any fear. I mean, because I talked the time. And then I moved to a small town where they have little gangs, and I was at a gas station, and, you know, African-American males hanging out. They probably were gang members. They all had on white shirts. And I walked up to them because they said something kind of, you know, provocative to me. And I was like, oh, I know you're not talking to me because I could be your mother. And what y'all doing out here anyway? And they think, you know, they were like, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Because it's all about how you relate. But you go out there fearful and scared like they're going to rob you, then, yeah, you might get robbed.
Okay. Let me bring Bernard in on that. Bernard, you know, a man that's been married over 3 decades, would you take fear as practical? And then, Marjorie, we're going to bring you back in. We haven't forgotten about you. Let me just ask him this question. Would you take fear as being practical as a part of life?
That's pretty ambiguous because fear, we all know, say the Bible says fear has torment, but by the same token, God put something in you. He instills sense in you as far as for educational purposes, and that can help you because, let's say, for instance, the stove, you see this stove, and once you touch it, man, hey, you know from now on that you're not going to do it. No. So that can be a defensive mechanism. So you can take it like that because it's very real. We don't want to shy around from it, but it's very real. But, you know, it's not the fact that we're just so scared to do anything, but living in today's society, just like the brother said earlier, he reminded me of Opie and Andy Griffin. Now, we don't live in a society like that no more. So we want to keep it real, real. And by in a sense, we don't live in that society anymore. We got to be cautious.
Right.
I believe
cautious
is going to be a part of that fear, being cautious. Don't mean that you're a scary cat, but you got good sense. Mm-hmm. You got intelligence.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Margie, let's bring you in. And do you think fear has sometimes to do with social relationships, why people are not necessarily getting along all the time? Because of fear, like, for example, a man is interested in a woman and, you know, she's afraid. She likes him, and they may have been together. They may be dating. But because she's been hurt from a past experience, she's afraid to give all of herself to this new relationship. Do you think that because of fear from the past has anything to do with that, Margie?
I think that falls under self-esteem. I think that's something she would have to let go. I want to make a comment with Mrs. Blake. I'm like her. When you walk in confidence, even when she was with the gang members or whatever, she walked up to them and approached them. She let them know, like, you know, like, I'm here, you here. You know, like, if when we do that, it put us in a position where, you know, like, you don't know what I could do. But the fear will give that person, showing the fear would give the other person, you know, like maybe an advantage point. But I like what she said, because I worked with offenders. I don't tell a lot of people I worked with, but I had high-risk offenders. I was the officer over a lot of the head kingpins or whatever they call them, the drug leaders, and I couldn't have them in my office at the same time, not knowing what would happen when I left, you know. And I could tell them, no, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. You know, they look at me like, whatever, you know.
Mark, I got to ask you this here, because we're running out of time now. We got about 4 minutes left. I got to ask you this question, but that was in a confined area, more or less a place of work where there was some security with you. Is that right?
No, because I had to work the field. My husband would tell you, I had to work the field day and night. I had to do curfew checks. Not curfew checks
right,
at
right.
5 o'clock in the afternoon. Curfew checks
right,
at midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. To they
right,
have
but it was,
they,
it was
on their territory.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me ask you that. Then, Bernard, let's go back to you just a second, and then we're going to 863-412, someone else on the line. Let me just ask you quickly here, because we got about 2 minutes before we end the show. And that is, in the society that we live today, is that something, like Ms. Blake said earlier, she approached those guys and said, I know you all are talking about me. I could be your mom, you know. Was that something that you would want your wife to do, Bernard, in today's time, to approach those guys like that?
Well, I believe it's really the way that Ms. Blake carried and how she carried herself in that way, not like a threatening manner, because quick scenario, we was coming from church one day and I was pumping gas and one of her clients walked over to the car and saw her. And you know what he had told me? I thought he was about to do something, so I was bracing myself. But he immediately just turned back to me and he said, listen, if anybody go back to prison with Ms. Edwards, they want to go back. So I said, well, how does that happen? She said, because I treat them like a person first. She don't look at none of their whatever. She said she treats them like a person first, and maybe that's part of it.
Okay. So to answer the question, would you want your wife in today's time, you know, if she were pumping gas by herself and she went in, let's say, to pay instead of paying at the pump, would you want her six guys are hanging out over there on the corner with a stereotypical look, would you want your wife to go over there? If they make a comment in her direction, would you want her to go over there and say something to them?
To be perfectly honestly, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're running out of time.
Sure.
We're going to go to 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Just Walk Show. Who do we have on the air?
You have Dennis.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. Dennis, I'm sorry we took so long to get to you. Thank you for your patience and others that have been holding. Did you want to make a comment on do social relationships have to be so difficult?
Yes. I grew up, my father was 6'3", 295 pounds, and he taught me to respect people, and I had to respect him. I'm not fearful of people, but I do respect them. I do give people respect. I taught school and I taught in the prison system, and I give them respect. And when I give respect, I demand respect. So I don't try to put people down to make me look big, but I will look you straight in the eye. You have to respect people. You have to talk with them as if they're on your same level. To put them down or to talk bad about them is not going to help the situation. You got to show people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So when you show that caring feeling, then they're going to respect you as well.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's a very good point. We've got time for just one more comment, and we're going to bring this one on over to let's bring Tony back in here on this comment. Tony, are you with us? Okay, maybe we may have lost Tony. Let me see. Hang on a second. All right, maybe I think we've lost Tony. Let's bring Ms. Blake for this last one here. Let's bring you in for this particular comment. This caller, this person sends in, this male sends in his comment. He says, the world we live in today is a world that you cannot confront people on every issue that may offend you. I think you have to have thick skin to survive in today's world. But Blake, is that pretty much valid? You got to have some thick skin?
Well, I do agree. And you don't confront everybody. And you have to know, you let the spirit lead you under who to respond, how, you know, because that's what I do every day, you know. So, you know, sometimes I may be in another situation and not be compelled to talk to those young men. But in that situation, they needed to know someone cared. And actually me getting at them and saying, well, what are y'all doing out here on school night? Don't y'all have some homework? And that's when they started, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Because sometimes we, the people we fear, just need to know that we care.
I like that. I like what you said about that. Let's go to Margie, our featured guest for the evening. Margie, we're going to give you the last word. What is your strategy, or just in 30 seconds or less, your tips for making the world a better place for, so that social relationships don't have to be difficult? Where do we start?
We start with love and respect.
Okay. On that note, I think we're clearly out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us on tonight's broadcast. Join us again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, when we're going to have a surprise topic for you on next week. Of course, join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday, we'll see you back here next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday, or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.